Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the show. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved. And the host of the program, its star and guiding light, is a wonderful woman by the name of Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. And we're going to kick the program off today with Carol Marx in conversation with Dr. Heather Tick. She's been an integrative medical practitioner for over 20 years, and she's going to talk to Carol about her new book titled Holistic Pain Relief, Dr. Tick's Breakthrough Strategies to Manage and Eliminate Pain, published by New World Library.
Since you started out your practice, have you seen it really an increase in the severity and complexity of pain problems?
That's a very, very interesting point. I'm finding that overall health has changed. So when I first went into practice, colds lasted a week. When children got a cold, they didn't necessarily get asthma with it. When people got into pain, they got out of pain more readily. Not as many people had diabetes or diabetic neuropathies. And so all of these things are increasing. And it isn't just pain, but it is pain too. And because pain is a secondary accompaniment of a lot of other conditions that we have, that we're seeing more of, that there is more pain, and it's taking longer to heal, and sometimes it just isn't going away, and we've been using a very narrow repertoire to treat it, basically drugs and procedures, with a heavy emphasis on drugs, and it's not working very well.
And you are so right. And I think also we need a cultural change in the way we look at pain, because we want this quick fix in our culture. So we want to, I think that's the reason that we rush to the over-counter or prescription drugs as soon as we have some pain.
Absolutely right. We're a quick-fix society, and we need a cultural change, as you said, absolutely rightly, in how we deal with pain and how we deal with health. And we need to see pain as a message about our health, as opposed to the enemy that we have to extinguish as quickly as possible. But in general, we need to be able to understand that pain is part of the spectrum of life, and that we need to understand the message that it has for us right now, because very often there is a message that we need to do something differently for our body, we need to eat differently, sleep differently, meditate more, we need to figure out why some repetitive action that we're doing is causing us a particular problem and seek out professionals who can help us work on that as opposed to drug it into oblivion so that we don't feel the symptom, but the problem still going on under the surface.
Now, one of the things, Dr. Tick, that I found so helpful after reading your book was what you mentioned about two things that I want to ask you about. One was, you know, the opiates, which are the ultimate painkiller. And we take more than any other, the rest of the world does, but I really never knew that high doses of opiates can actually make the pain worse.
Yes, and that really is something that is shocking and something that nobody anticipated, but it is what happens. People develop hyperalgesia, which is a heightened sensitivity to pain, so that the mechanisms that are supposed to dampen down non-life-threatening pain for us so that we aren't distracted by it actually get sensitized, and we feel everything much more intensely. And in general, when you look at the studies of people who take higher doses of opioids and people who don't, they don't function as well. And it isn't just because they have more severe problems, so they're getting on higher doses. It's been so popular to push doses upwards when tolerance develops. So tolerance is the phenomenon that when you take an opioid, first 10 times you take it, it works really well. So acutely it works well for broken bones and surgery. But when you have to keep taking them, they lose effectiveness. And so everybody knows that you have to increase the dose, and that's because of this tolerance. And as you increase the doses, which has been for the last 10 years extremely popular to do, even with relatively minor pains, you just keep escalating the dose, people stop functioning. Their personalities change, and there are many other unintended, very negative effects of those drugs.
Now, you write in your book about some healthy alternative ways to reduce chronic pain. And one of them, you use a term in the book called myofascial disorder. And I want to know that you to tell our readers what it is and how it's treated and why we don't hear about more about this disorder. Because I think what is done to treat this could help people.
Absolutely. Myofascial pain refers to myo, which is muscle, and fascia, which is the connective tissue that is throughout our whole body. And it is the commonest cause of pain. So all of the sprains and strains, the whiplashes, the low back pain, even post-operative pain, repetitive strain injuries, tendonitis, bursitis, they all have a component of myofascial pain, where the muscles are tightening in the wrong way and causing pain. When you address the muscle part of the disorder, the rest of it heals up much faster. And we get more and more of this as we age because our spine ages. And one of the most vulnerable structures in our body is the spinal nerve root, where it exits the spinal column. And at that point, it's very easy for that little nerve to get a little bit of compression. And it may not be squeezed or compressed enough to stop functioning, but it malfunctions. And one of the things it does is it doesn't communicate well with the muscles, and the muscles don't respond well to that lack of communication, and they tend to tighten up, and they tend to start to contract when they're supposed to be resting, and that starts the whole syndrome. Now, in medical school, we learn muscles so that we know where to cut when we're doing surgery. So we landmark based on the muscles. And fascia is really just considered a useless tissue. It's just structural. It's not considered a live, functional tissue. Well, we now know that's different. We now know that fascia has a tremendous number of functions in the body. And it's actually an energy transduction system, which is pretty exciting, that research. And the muscles really can be a cause of pain and dysfunction, but you have to know how to examine them. So the osteopaths know how. The chiropractors and massage therapists are very good at it. Some of the physical therapists are too, if they do extra training past original basic physical therapy. And we need in medicine to recognize that too, and if we're not going to treat it ourselves, at least we need to know how to triage it to people who can treat it. Now, personally, I do treat it. I use a technique called intramuscular stimulation, which works extremely well to help a lot of those syndromes.
And so you're actually stretching the tissue, you know, around the muscles, I guess, and that's a wonderful way to relieve pain without being on pills constantly.
It is. And it returns the function of the muscle, too. So I use acupuncture needles, but I don't do it in a conventional acupuncture way. I'm putting the acupuncture needles into the tight bands in the muscle. And as soon as the needle goes in, even though I'm not injecting anything, the muscle, that part of the muscle relaxes. The circulation returns, and it starts to function more normally. And people get their range of motion back. People who haven't been able to turn their head or bend over are suddenly able to do that. If it's around hips and thighs, they can walk better, they're steadier. And it can be very, very helpful to do that without drugs, because drugs don't actually work for myofascial pain. You can take drugs, and you may take care of the pain, a very small portion of it, but you're not going to return the function, and in the long run, it doesn't really give a satisfying relief of the pain either.
And here's
one thing that's very important to know. We talked about opioids, but non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which is the ibuprofen family of drugs, which is so commonly used as we get older. I mean, young people are using it too, but as we get older, we tend to rely on it more. We're really recognizing how damaging those drugs are. Those drugs kill more people than HIV and cervical cancer every year put together.
Why?
Why? Because they cause bleeding in the stomach, they cause kidney damage, they cause heart damage, and there's probably some reasons we don't even know yet in terms of what they do. But when you look at the statistics, just for the two diagnoses of osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, so all the people who are taking these drugs for other reasons aren't even counted in these statistics. And the statistic is that 16,500 people a year die taking these drugs that you can buy in any drugstore and grocery store, because and they people think that they're benign because of that.
Wow. And one thing that people can do, which is a natural solution to pain, are gentle exercises. But a lot of people, you know, are in pain or afraid of moving their body because they think they're going to hurt more.
Right. And you're so right. And movement is the answer. When we move, we make our own body painkillers. We make endorphins. We get the circulation going in our muscles. We reestablish the connection between the nervous system, the brain, the spinal column, the nerves, and the muscles. And all of that helps to promote healing. So sometimes people need advice and supervision in order to be able to feel that they are exercising safely. And we're not saying go out and run a marathon, but we're saying do a little bit of Tai Chi, do a little bit of yoga, a little bit of stretching here and there, go for a walk, get into a pool and move around, because that really exercises your muscles, but you're not working against gravity. So a lot of people feel a tremendous relief getting in water and exercising there.
And you also talked about, you know, our skin and what we eat being responsible for our rashes. And, you know, I'll really tell you the truth, I never had thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Our skin is our biggest detoxification organ. And if we're doing things in our body, if we're putting things in that the body needs to get out, it's really under-recognized in medicine as well. And I have treated many people who have had chronic skin conditions that they keep putting steroid creams on and they're not going away. And when we change their diet, they improve.
Dr. Heather Tick in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Holistic Pain Relief, Dr. Tick's Breakthrough Strategies to Manage and Eliminate Pain, published by New World Library. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Carol Marks returns with a very interesting conversation about winning business strategies from Shanghai to New York and back. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself, because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names. It's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online, from building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase. Hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And here again is the host of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation now with June Lee. She's founder and principal of equity research firm J.L. Warren Capital, LLC. And she's going to talk to Carol about her new memoir titled Tiger Woman on Wall Street, Winning Business Strategies from Shanghai to New York and Back, published by McGraw-Hill.
Let's talk about the title of your book, Tiger Woman on Wall Street. It alludes to the fact you're a product of tiger parenting, growing up in Shanghai with a strict father. So what is that style of parenting for us that don't know, and how did that style shape you?
Well, I would say tiger parenting is really an understatement for my father's parenting style. I would say my father is really tiger on steroid. So, you know, that makes any choice parenting looks like a walk in the park. I mean, the opening of the book was a scene on me learning how to do multiplication table at age of 3 on a washer board. So my father was very very, you know, rigorous and very sort of competitive. And I understand that because, you know, China, 1.3 billion population, commands that, you know, the competition is cutting throat. And, you know, if I did not succeed at, you know, in, you know, at a time when I grew up in school, I wouldn't be able to get into college, and college was really a guarantee of a good job and the financial security later on in my adult life. So I understand why my parent was, why my dad was so, you know, disciplined, and I really benefit from it. I think I still see the legacy of my father's parenting in my today's work. I mean, compared to my peers, I definitely, you know, stand out as more, you know, focused, you know, in terms of my drive, in terms of my discipline at work, work ethics. But I also benefit a lot, you know, from my Middlebury college education. So I came to the U.S. in 96 to pursue a liberal arts college in Vermont. So that was my first exposure to American liberal arts education. And really, from Middlebury, I learned a set of completely different skills, which are creativity, sort of the ability to think, not only, you know, do things, but also think, and sort of, you know, also sort of the leadership and the creativity. So I think it's really the combination of both that took me to where I am today. So I'm really fortunate in a sense that I benefit from a traditional Chinese sort of disciplined early age, you know, parenting, but also creative, you know, open-minded, and a liberal arts education with the focus on a universal ethic.
I agree.
Which turned out to be a really important, you know, thing that I, in my industry.
But it couldn't have been easy, you know, when you first started it, going from one kind of education, memorizing, to being much more creative. Now, following up a little bit on Chinese education, do you think that it's been easy for creative accounting and cheating, because that's what I read about, some of the problems businesses are having here trying to do business over there, became sort of a normal way of doing business in China because of all that cutthroat competition, which starts so early with the children?
You know, I would have to say yes. And cheating in China is really prevalent, from schools to, you know, business practices and to all walks in life. And I think personally the biggest reason for that is the cutthroat competitiveness. I mean, it is a population of 1.3 billion country. I mean, consider U.S. being a fraction of that. And also, you know, cheating in China is really not a method to get ahead, but really a way to prevent one from falling behind. So if I had to do business in China, sort of competing with Chinese peers, I would be very concerned if I didn't, you know, give out kickbacks and bribery and the corrupt, then I would really fall behind and lose my competitive edge and won't be able to close a deal or succeed in whichever field I chose to engage in. So cheating is very common, and it's not really a way to gain edge. It's really a way from falling back. So unfortunately, and that's one thing that I touched upon in my book. So if we have to reform the system and enhance the social capital of China, we need to start reform the school system. So cheating needs to be forbidden in all grades in schools. You know, honesty and ethics should be taught before the teaching of passion, compassion, love, comradeship, family value. Only when children learn how to behave honestly and learn the universal code of ethics, when they grow up, become the business managers, they can behave honestly. And if China wants to continue to rise and to be an equal player and competitive player in the world economy, it has to, you know, live up to the international standards and learn to help how to play and cooperate in an honest way. So I think that's a big issue.
Oh, I do too. And before we talk about China's economic miracle, which is really what was lifting 500 million people out of poverty in just a little over 30 years, don't you think that another thing that has kind of held China back from getting away from cheating and some of the other things that go on there is the fact that there's been this compact between the government and its citizens, and the government there has said that we're going to improve your economics and you're going to have a better standard of living, but in return for that, you've got to put your social rights, your shared beliefs, and your personal freedom on the back burner, and I think that still continues.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the dilemma. Inevitably, any economy, developing economy, gets into when they sort of advance, you know, under the label of state capitalism. So in China, what I've seen over the past 4 or 5 years since the global crisis in 08, since the state, the Chinese government decided to bail the economy out with this gigantic stimulus package, state capitalism going backwards, meaning the government started to play an increasing role in the economy in terms of credit allocation, in terms of resources allocation. So, you know, in China, I mean, I think it's commonly misunderstood. Chinese people don't really care if they cannot get on Facebook or Twitter to, you know, communicate and exchange ideas with the rest of the world. But Chinese people do get pissed off if they cannot get a contract or lose a contract, business contract, because they are not connected, they are not related to government. So, and we see that a lot of times, a private business owner who are very competitive, who are good at what they do, but they cannot win contracts and they cannot win business deals because, you know, they are not connected to the government officials, to the regulators, to the government affiliates. So, I mean, Chinese people do feel that they are handicapped because of this unfair, you know, social structure, and it's becoming more and more pronounced as economy advances. So ultimately, it's a battle, you know, so that's why I'm saying the policymakers now come to the point that they have to decide how we are going to grow out of this situation, whether we are going to slow down the growth with the focus on a higher quality of growth, or we are going to continue this path of continue to printing this hyper growth at the expense of more and more, you know, divided society and more unequal, wealth distribution.
That's June Lee in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Tiger, Woman on Wall Street, Winning Business Strategies from Shanghai to New York and Back, published by McGraw-Hill. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and at this point in the program, we're joined by our good colleague. He's a senior correspondent on the show. He's also a co-worker of mine at Talkers Magazine, where he is the executive editor and vice president, and is here to talk a little bit about behind the scenes in the talk media, Kevin Casey. Kevin, this is Valentine's Day week, month, year.
Yeah, we're coming up to it, right?
We no longer have holidays that are one day and for 3 days before the five and tens. I'm dating myself, but then again, this is A Touch of Gray, so I'm in the right place, right time. They would, you know, the cards would come out 3 days before, and that would be it. Now, everything, even Black Friday is now Black November. It's like the Valentine's stuff has been up since Halloween. I mean, do people talk about this on talk radio?
They do. It's any holiday, any cultural facet of our society is something that is talked about on talk radio. It, not in the same way as it might on a female-targeted music station, but look, people like to talk about these things. People, let's face it, people like to complain about having to buy candy and cards, and that's an, always an interesting talk topic. So, yeah, they do, and it's always it's an aspect of our economy, too. Holidays make money for a lot of people. It's important.
Yeah, so in a way, it's a good thing, and in a way, it's a stressful thing, and I think that we all have this dichotomy in terms of how we feel about whether it's Christmas or Valentine's Day or anything whereby you are pressured to show another person you love them, respect them, care about them, but are pressured to do so by a societal pressure rooted in economics.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an easy thing to deal with. You know?
It's not, and keep in mind, too, that we tend to run our American culture is run, the signposts are holiday to holiday. After one's over, it's like, okay, what's the next holiday that we have to look forward to?
Well, that's a good point. And you just, what you did is you just encapsulated what I was trying to explain is that we're never out of a holiday.
Mm.
Holidays now radiate into their almost seasons of their own as opposed to being little, you know, oases of difference along the boring Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday routine that we live in.
Right, right.
Interesting indeed. Kevin Casey, the Vice President and Executive Editor of Talkers Magazine, thank you for joining us. Folks, if you want to know more about what's going on in the radio scene, you can go to talkers.com. Or if you're interested in music radio, you can go to radioinfo.com, and it's all there for you. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
K Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And we're joined the rest of the way this hour by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Part one, he's going to be talking with Tai Tashiro. He's a relationship expert for Discovery, Fit, and Health Channel. And he's going to talk to Steve about his new book titled The Science of Happily Ever After, What Really Matters in the Quest for Enduring Love, published by Harlequin.
You know, a large number of relationships do end up in divorce. We know that. And there are even more that are the silent contempt relationships. What are we doing wrong when it comes to matching up?
You're right about that. It's about only one in three couples finds a marriage that's both happy and ever after, which is a pretty small percentage. And one of the common things I think that researchers are finding is that we expect more out of the institution of marriage and also from our partners than we ever have, really in any kind of historical sense when you look across cultures and across time.
You know, are there things, I know we have computer dating and all and Match.com and so many of these other things, but what should we be doing along with maybe being a little bit more realistic?
You know, one of the most important things is to prioritize the list of traits that you want in your ideal partner. And what we find is that a lot of times people wish for everything and they end up getting nothing. So they might say they want 20, 25, 30 things in their ideal partner. And when you're not focused like that, and you're out on the dating market, the chances are you might end up with a haphazard collection of traits in a partner and really not get the things that you really wanted in the first place. So we encourage people to think about what would be the top three things that you would want in a partner, and then think about some of the mistakes maybe you've made in previous relationships. And we also provide some advice about what traits would be good to look for based on these longitudinal studies of marriage that track couples across decades.
Interesting. First of all, let's start about with infatuation. It is a real thing. What causes it, and is it always doomed to wear off, and maybe isn't that possibly even not a bad thing?
You know, that's a great question. It would be nice if it could last forever. It's one of the best feelings you can have in life. But things like a racing heart, that's another word for high blood pressure, the kind of feeling you get in your stomach there where you're really excited, that's a stress hormone being
released.
Well,
below the stomach.
If these things were to continue chronically or across time, then it would actually be bad for your physical health.
Now, so we do get is our infatuation, is that something that's built in to us as part of evolution to get us in the mating game?
Yep. It's if you look at these neuroimaging studies, you can actually watch infatuation in the brain.
Wow.
As much of a reflexive process as humans can have. And, yeah, it's a good mechanism to get people to pair up and mate and keep having a human race.
Okay, speaking of that human race, and I'm almost fearful of asking the question in terms of a long-term relationship, how important is sex and sexual attraction?
Sex is important.
Thank God you said that.
Yeah, it is. You know, as one of my old advisors in graduate school used to say, if your partner's bad at tennis, it's not a problem because you can go find somebody else to play tennis with. If they're bad at sex, well, then that's a problem.
There you go.
In a monogamous culture, if this one thing in life that's pretty important to people isn't being satisfying, then it causes a significant amount of marital strain.
Are there certain, and again, people will match up, I guess, differently because of the character traits that each of them may be looking for, but are there any particular personality traits both to look for and to avoid?
There certainly are, and personality is a very powerful predictor of whether marriages will be happy and whether they're at risk for divorce. And so being attuned to that when you're selecting a partner is really key. I'll give you a couple of examples, and we talk about quite a few of them in the book. One would be novelty-seeking. It's a trait that psychologists use to describe people that like to take risks, who are adventurous. They're usually very exciting. And when you're first dating them, people will describe them as really interesting and spontaneous. But they also get bored quickly, and that means that they'll get bored quickly with a partner. Mm-hmm. And they're also at risk for doing things like cheating or substance abusing, or other kinds of behaviors that are, of course, very bad for a marriage in the long run.
So what kind of a trait would really be something, and maybe even a trait that we might not even think of, that would be a good predictor of a good relationship?
Of a good one. You know, nice guys, or someone says your partner was nice when you first introduced them, we almost take it as an insult sometimes.
Oh, yeah, we're just like the nice guy.
You know, but that's actually one of the best things you can possibly get, and it gets overlooked a lot of times. And so if you watch people in these studies of online dating or speed dating, they rank agreeableness or kindness about seventh or eighth in their list of priorities if you watch what they actually do. But, of course, having a kind, agreeable partner is one of the best things possible. They're more empathic, they're more understanding, they're more likely to do things without expecting something that you do in return, kind of a quid pro quo sort of approach, and they're generous. I could go on and on about the merits of dating a nice guy or a nice gal.
What about money? Is money something that becomes a significant part as far as a lasting relationship?
You know, money is one of the top two things that people will prioritize when they're choosing a partner.
Hmm.
However, it's the case that it's a pretty poor predictor of happiness and satisfaction in the long run. It's the case that if you pass the poverty line, basically if you're not stressed by finances to a point where it's hard to put food on the table, then any additional wealth beyond that really doesn't make a difference. So we like to say that there's no difference between dating somebody who makes $70,000 a year versus someone who makes $700,000 a year.
Interesting. What about, I refer to them generally as the outlaws, but others will say the in-laws. Is it a significant thing, the family into which you're marrying?
It is in a roundabout kind of way. And so there's all these studies of human attachment where they look at the bond between a child and their mother or a child and their father. And what they have now are these studies where they followed people for two decades, three decades, and they're able to see if the child was securely attached to their parent as a kid, can you see that in their marriage in the long run? Or, conversely, if they were insecurely attached, how does that manifest in marriage? And it's such a powerful predictor, the kind of relationship somebody had with their mother or father, when you're trying to predict how they're going to behave in a marriage, if they'll be happy and satisfied, and even if they're at risk for divorce.
Wow, that's pretty compelling stuff. You know, along the same line, when we talked about infatuation, how long is a period for people to not jump into, say, a marriage because you're still in those early infatuation stages? How long before you really get a sense of the person beyond just those immediate chemical and hormones?
Sure. You know, I just like to say, as a rough rule of thumb, about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because that infatuation has some variability around it. Sometimes it only lasts for 6 months. Sometimes you'll see it go for maybe a year and a half. But usually by 2 years, you start to see people calm down a little bit. And also, on the other side, the partner's self-presentation to try to hide some things that aren't great traits that they might have kind of goes away, and the real self manifests, and you can then be attuned to these things and watch out for any kinds of red flags that might be there.
You know, one of the things that I've often heard, and I've seen these gorgeous women with these trolls like myself, and they'll say something like, he makes me laugh. Is humor really an essential element in a relationship?
That's a good question, because there's a surprising answer to that, I think. In studies where they look at a sense of humor, a man's sense of humor is actually related to less relationship satisfaction for a woman.
Interesting.
And that's because men often use humor as a way to get out of a conversation that's actually serious. Yeah. And so, I like a sense of humor. I think that's a great quality for people to have, but you know, people got to be careful if they're a guy, for example, to not use it as a way to escape things. And I guess if it's a partner, to not let the person off the hook just because they're being funny.
That's Ty Toshiro in conversation with Steve Wiseman. His book is titled The Science of Happily Ever After, What Really Matters in the Quest for Enduring Love, published by Harlequin. We specifically program that conversation because this is Love Week. Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Steve Wiseman will be back in just a moment talking a little bit about income tax identity theft. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of the program and another visit from Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent. He's an attorney, and when he's an attorney, we call him Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's also a prolific author, and he is an enemy of fraud. He is an enemy of scammers. And let me tell you, he's the real deal. He's a good guy. I've known him for over 20 years, and I would certainly feel safe in a foxhole with Steve Wiseman. So let me tell you now, he's here to discuss income tax identity theft, and he really knows a lot about it because he's written The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. He has a website called scamicide.com. So let's see what he's got in store for us. Income tax identity theft. Steve, take it away.
Thank you, Michael. Want some good news or bad news? All right, I'll give you both. The good news, according to the IRS, is that their crack teams of forensic accountants prevented the payment of $1.5 billion in fraudulent tax refund checks last year. You want the bad news? Bad news is a report done by the Treasury Department predicts the IRS will pay more than $21 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars in fraudulent tax refund checks over the next 5 years. And if that's not bad enough, here's some worse news. If an identity thief manages to file a tax return using your name and Social Security number before you do, it could be well over a year before you get your legitimate tax refund. And tax identity theft is getting worse, not better. And you really can't depend on the IRS to protect you. Identity thieves who manage to steal your name and Social Security number are filing early returns before you can with a phony W-2 and getting huge refunds while your refund, the legitimate one, gets stuck in bureaucratic hell when you file your legitimate tax return. But let's just really look at this and make it worse, because the IRS is talking about all they're doing with new special programs to identify. Here's the key thing they're not doing, and I don't see this, you know, anywhere that it's been written. When a W-2 is sent in by an employer, not even sent to the IRS, W-2 forms aren't required to be filed by employers until February or March, depending on the manner that the employer uses for filing. In fact, as I said, it's not even filed with the IRS, but done with Social Security. Social Security doesn't even send those documents over to the IRS until the late summer, and the IRS doesn't match the W-2s filed with the W-2s filed by employers until August, well after the IRS has already paid income tax returns based, in many cases, on counterfeit W-2s. So how easy would it be to merely require employers to file W-2s with the IRS at the same time they file them with Social Security and have the IRS match the phony W-2s with the W-2s that are filed by employers and then be able to see if there's identity theft? But that's a bit too easy. The bottom line is, first of all, you've got to protect your Social Security number. Second of all, you've got to file early. The filing date was extended a little bit because of the government shutdown, but now is the time to file, so don't put it off.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Income tax identity theft. You don't know where to turn and where the next culprit will be, what tree the next fraud artist will jump out from behind. But Steve Wiseman's there to protect us. Check out scamaside.com, his website. Check out The Truth About Avoiding Scams, his book about the subject, published by Prentice Hall. And Steve Wiseman is a regular feature of A Touch of Gray. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Beverly Santanella, our producer on the front line. Thank you, of course, to Kevin Casey. And great thanks and respect to Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts in upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism and the host of our program. On behalf of all of us at A Touch of Gray, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment